Welcome to Atres of Memory. Here is Luna De Rosa, and Atres of Memory is a podcast series that amplifies Roma voices across generations, borders, and identities. In today's episode, we explore the question, why does remembrance matter today? Together with our guests, we reflect on the lessons history teaches us and how remembering becomes an act of resistance, healing, and transformation. For Roma communities, memory is not only a record of the past, but a living force, carried through bodies, stories, rituals, and spaces. Remembrance for the Roma is not static. It moves through oral traditions, creative expression, and everyday acts of survival. It's about refusing silence, about making space for complexity, fluidity, and the truths held in our lived experience. So join us as we navigate memory, not only to honor what was, but to shape what's yet to come. So today we have with us Palermo and Gemma. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So I will start with Palermo to ask you a little bit to introduce yourself.
My name is Palermo. I'm 18 years old and I am a Norwegian Roma. Yeah, I do a lot of work when it comes to Roma questions, especially when it comes to teens. And I have my own podcast, which is called The Roma Perspective.
Thank you. So, Gemma, can you introduce a little bit yourself?
Yes, thank you so much for having us, Luna. My name is Gemiliana Abdulova, short Gemma. I was born in Skopje in 1997. And I'm president of Roma Culture and Media Center Bari Kanepe. Bari Kanepe in Romanes means proud. And I'm proud with my organization to publish around 20 books on the Roma language, on Romanes and also on Macedonia, like translations, so the non-Roma can know more about us, about our community, about our language, tradition, and everything that needs to be like heard about us. And also I'm author of my first book, A Small Roma Memory Book, which includes my vision of the Roma culture. And I have a short stories from authors. I have included the comparison between the music, the shalvars in past, and also compare with the modern shalvars. I have compared the first theater in Macedonia, Teatro Roma, with the new Roma theater groups. I have included the languages and everything. And most important, last month I had my first exhibition with another three artists from Macedonia, and my exhibition was about the Roma discrimination and stereotypes, because I'm also a visual artist.
Wow, amazing. I'm so happy to have such an amazing guest. So we will start with personal encounters with history, a little bit with a personal place. And the first question is, when did you first become aware of the Roma Holocaust or other moments of persecution in your family or community history, Palermo?
I became aware of the term Holocaust when I was around 7 and 8, because my grandfather, it just came up in a discussion, and he basically was saying, oh, well, when the Holocaust happened, Romas had these tattoos on their arms and they weren't doing well. And I kept on asking, why were they not doing well? And he ended the entire discussion that we were having with, we were all dying. Because the thing is, I wanted to pressure him more to get more information, but he wouldn't let me anymore because I was a child. So that was like when I first became aware that the Holocaust existed. But the more mature I became, I started doing my own research, because I was just hearing that about the Holocaust when it comes to Jewish people. And then I just saw some text about, yeah, Romas have been in it too. So I got more interested in it. So I started doing more and more research, and I found out a lot, especially when it comes to my family history and the persecution that happened in Norway.
What about you, Gemma?
Yes, actually for me, it was not only just one moment. Growing up, it was... I was surrounded by stories, by personal stories. Everyone in our family had something similar happened. Example in my family, it was my grandpa. He was born in 1938 and he was a little boy when the World War II happened. And whenever we were talking about that, he was just frozen, like, he couldn't tell the story. We know that something was terrible happening to Roma people, but he didn't have the courage to say it aloud. Even his silence meant a lot. And how I was growing up, because today I'm everything thanks to my grandparents, because he did everything that he can do with his silence. Not to talk about it aloud with words, but he was writing every moment that happens to him, and he gave it to us later so we can publish it.
Amazing.
And yeah, that was the early stages from me, you know, getting know that. And when I grow up, I know that I need to research more about it, to say it loud that that happens, my grandfather's silence to be my voice.
Amazing. So did this knowledge change how you see yourself?
I would definitely say so, because considering what our people went through in the Holocaust and the generation that I'm born in, society as a whole has a lot of stereotypes and they like to dictate who I should be, a thief, all of that, basically, stereotype after stereotype. And at some point, it started really taking a hold on me personally, to the point where I just started to believe in it because I didn't know any other stories about us. But once I did the research enough, and once I found out that my great-grandfather was in the Holocaust, that's when I started seeing that we are a people that have survived something brutal. We have survived something that no one should ever be able to basically survive it, in a way, if you get what I mean. And after figuring out how my ancestors fought to survive that hard, I started feeling really empowered by it, because I truly do believe that the strength that they had to survive such a massacre, in a way, traveled down the bloodlines to me, basically. Yeah.
And for you, Gemma, how changed to see yourself, this knowledge?
Actually, I would like to agree with Palermo, because everyone, no matter from which country we are coming, we have the similar stories, because that happened to all of the Roma. It's really terrible, like terrible period, terrible events. And we need to be their voice, the voice of the past. We need to fight off it, their silence to be our loudness, to talk it more and to connect it with the present, because with the present and with the future, we can change a lot, not just only for the Roma Holocaust, also with the view how the others seeing the Roma. Here I will include the stereotypes, the discrimination, the anti-Gypsyism, because everything is connected. If you are starting to tell the story, because the storytelling should come from the Romas. If someone who is not Roma starts to telling our story, they will not know our background, our family, how is functioning, my granddad, Palermo's granddad. It needs to start from us, because if someone else is telling that story, it will get lost and it will be not get that, you know, like the one that we want to be like voice.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree with this.
Yeah.
Do you want to say something?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like when it comes to those stories in general, it's very hard to hear them, especially from the elders. I think all in this room agree with that, because literally trying to get someone to tell such a traumatic story, it's hard. And some stories do get, you know, lost, basically. But I wanted to ask you a question, actually. When it comes to your family, do you have any stories that you want to share when it comes to Holocaust survivors?
Only my grandfather's story, because he means a lot for me. His silence, I need to repeat this, because everything he was saying, it was only like expression. And I cannot describe that, because you can see the pain in his eyes. I don't know, not only pain, frightening as well, as scared. Whenever we were saying that period, he was frozen. He was scared to talk, because if he talks about it, maybe the reality it's more worse than we are, you know, like reading, because there is not too much in the textbooks, so we can read about it. Only we can do it even from the silence, from my grandfather looks, we can know that it was really like the worst thing that can happen to human beings.
So, for many Roma communities, to talk about that is a taboo. So it's something that you don't really feel comfortable to talk about. So this is what happened also to, for example, my grandparents, grandfather, that he also never talked about the Holocaust, because for him it was really a shame to talk and something very painful. So yeah. It was a common.
They're scared. I will say that, because they are so scared. It's trauma, as you said, and people are not comfortable to talk about their traumas. But my grandfather gathered all the things that happened and he wrote it. And that's why I'm always saying, if you are not telling it loudly, write it. Maybe some next generation will fight about that. That is really good thing.
Yes, so the next question will be, what lesson do you think we as a society can or should learn from the Roma Holocaust?
I feel like society can learn a lot about the Roma Holocaust, but especially when it comes to how easy it is to forget, because in all of social media, in all of the research that I did, the tiniest amount of information about the Roma Holocaust, like from estimated deaths to names that we don't even know are true, we have no idea. We can't even find families in a way. It's so little information. And that really boggles me, because this is a societal issue. We should be receiving the same amount of spotlight as the Jewish Holocaust. And I just feel like, why are we being put to the sidelines? We need a society's help to figure this out. Because if not, a lot of stories will get untold. We won't know.
Yeah, I agree. We need awareness and we need some modern fight. I will say, I'm really like proud that you are doing with your podcast. That is also a tool. The writing books, writing text, telling stories, storytelling. We can fight easily with that, and we can leave a really good treasure for our kids, our grandkids, to know their roots and the pain and the trauma that our elders had it.
So how do you see those lessons or the failure to learn them reflected in the world today?
I see them that they are not something spoken so much. We are doing our best, but I think we can do more. Everyone has a story and everyone needs to write it, to be really allowed to be the light of the darkness in the past.
So are there parallels between past discrimination and what we see now?
Yes and no. When it comes to the discrimination of our people, we have come a long way, but we still have a longer way to go. We still have our rights. We are established in many ways, but Roma still face discrimination on a daily basis. Roma still hide their identities. Romas don't know their history. That's also a part of discrimination. And not just that, I just feel like discrimination in itself will always exist. But it has been minimized. It has been minimized, but I just wish it would be minimized more. Because we all probably have stories to tell about how we have been discriminated, stereotyped, and all that. And especially when people do not want to take the Roma Holocaust seriously, especially when it comes to that.
Yeah. And do you see, I mean, like also the problem with the housing or with the school for the children. So what do you think, Gemma?
Actually, in Macedonia, it's a little bit different. We have a really a right to everything. But I will say that still we are getting that discrimination and stereotypes, because my opinion is the others, the non-Roma, don't know so much about us. They don't know us. They have only the picture that was in the past. It's really different. We have really educated Roma. We are a Roma woman and Roma people in a really good workplaces, but still it's not enough. We need more young people to fight with it, to show that we are getting somewhere with education. It's not like in the past. It's really better, but it's not enough. Why I'm saying this? Because we are not so visible with good examples. We need to give them good examples, to invite them in our home, not literally, but with everything that we are doing positive, no matter if it's a book, exhibition, a video, a podcast. We need to make collaboration with them so they can know that we are not that people that are only beggars on the street. We are educated. We have doctors. We have medical nurses. We have even lawyers. So we can be everything that we are dreaming to be.
So you feel like visibility is a big part of minimizing discrimination, basically?
Yes, a positive examples. Mm. We can show them if we are saying that we are equal to them, because not only saying, showing them that we can do more, because they have some stereotypes still. Maybe it's not like in the past, but it's existing, unfortunately. Mm. And that way we need to be more close with them, to be in their circles, so they can know that, yes, they're educated. They're really like came in some way. It's not enough, but it's, you know, a start for something bigger.
So to come back to the remembrance as a resistance, why it is important how we remember, or what forms of remembrance feel most powerful or meaningful to you?
For me personally, I would say it's objects and stories, because objects do hold value regardless of what their story might be. And verbal stories, by telling them generation to generation, it keeps the memory alive of what's happening, what's happened.
For example, like, I don't know, public memorials or art. Which form of resistance do you think it's, the most powerful?
I would say it's action, to be honest. Of course, memorials are very powerful, absolutely, arts as well. But going out, marching for who you are, marching for your people, marching for your rights, protesting, advocating, action, I feel like that's for me the, yeah, that's for me like the most important thing in a way when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. And Gemma, for you, because you're also an artist, tell me a little bit which form will be for you the most powerful way to...
For me, I will include two parts. The one is by making it creative, by involving art, storytelling, music, because young people want to feel things, not only memorize them. We can build spaces where remembrance is alive, where it speaks to love, grief, justice, and also vision. We can be the voice of the past.
So do you feel that Roma voices are heard enough in remembrance culture?
No, I don't think so. I think we have a start, but we need to continue that start. Like I said before, I will connect everything that I said, because it's really important to talk about it.
And what would you say to young people today who don't feel connected to this story, history?
I will say they need to go back to their roots and to see maybe they have story at home, story that they didn't know about it. Not only the family, maybe some neighbor that is also, you know, like connecting, or maybe some story in their hometown that is also a storytelling. We need to start from somewhere. If we want to succeed, we need to want that. We need to really like do something about it, not only to close it in some home, to be in the close circle. It needs to be everywhere. So we can be aware that never needs to be the history to be repeated.
Yeah, so it's very important to take the multiple voices and not just one story. What would you say to young people who don't feel connected to this history, Palermo?
You don't have to be connected to it immediately. You may find some links in a way, but the story is there if you want it in a way. It's not that you are forced to bear it. You're not forced to bear the weight of the story, but only if you want to, in a way. That's what I would say to young people today.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yes, of course, because I see that we have similar stories and we have different perspective of it, but that is what we need to do. We need to include more young people. The power is in the youth. We need to make them strong and to feel the things that we are feeling right now, like grief. And I have angerness inside me, angerness that needs to be spoken out loud.
Because I also think that for the young generation, it's quite normal to feel disconnected with the past. But in some way, we have a knowledge that maybe we didn't had before. So in this kind of being aware, it brings also to be more active, to be more powerful, to make your voice more heard. But yeah, I think that to be connected with the history, it's very hard when you live in a completely different time.
But right. there are so many tools for that. Like you asked me before why I will recommend they can take photograph. I don't know, from some museum or example, anything that it's making association to the Roma Holocaust. They can tell the story, no matter if it's personal or not. They can use a lot of tools. Nowadays, we have the media in our hands. We can do a lot. It's much easier than in the past. Absolutely. We can be the powerful role models for everyone, like our stories from our past and grandparents were for us.
But how do you deal with the weight and the pressure of such a brutal story and having to listen to it, take in it, and also, when the next generation comes, give it to them.
Yes, but we need to start from somewhere. The pressure is big. The trauma is even bigger. But if we hide it and we will not talk about it, we will not go nowhere with it. So we need to start from somewhere. The grief is big. The pressure is bigger. But we need to be strong and to fight with it. There's always like, you know, like thorns, but we need to start to talk, to walk in the thorns so we will have something good left for the next generation in the future. I don't know if you agree with me, but that is a little start that we need to do it, or we can start to do it. That is also something.
Mm-hmm. But for me personally, I do feel that with me being the new generation, it's a very heavy burden to carry. It's not by any means that I do not wish to carry it, or it's not by any means that I don't want to hear it, but it's just so heavy to meet or to see your family member talk about the amount of inhumanity the Nazis did, sometimes showing scars, sometimes showing tattoos, and not just the physical aspect of it, the mental aspect of it too. It's such a huge burden to carry. And I definitely do think that we should, you know, carry these stories onwards, but I definitely don't think that we should kind of pressure, in a way, the new generation to be at the front. They need to choose that, because once you have that burden, it is not going away. That weight that you have on your chest, once you hear that your family members went through this, it makes you enraged. It makes you sad to the point where you don't know what to do, because at the end of the day, you may have the thought that if it happened to them, can it happen to me? And if they are so traumatized, if it happens again, what will happen to me? What will I do? Will I keep sharing the same stories? Or will I just trust the world in a way? Because Romas haven't been able to trust the world because of what we've experienced. It's almost impossible, especially the older generation. They have no idea what to do. The scars left on their souls are so big. And using the stories to kind of send the passage of the torch, in a way, I definitely do think that it's important to talk about the stories. But I also wish to have new narratives. I just don't want to hear always that Romas are always the victims. We haven't done anything. We're just the victims. Yeah, we went through this and that. We have done so much resistance as well. The older generation, literally survivability is resistance. I feel like that could be passed down more than these traumatic stories, because at the end of the day, considering my grandfather's story, I couldn't even sleep on my pillow well once I've understood the amount of inhumanity in the Nazis and what they did to him. I mean, he was born in Norway. He came to Belgium when he was around my age. He was married. And his wife, she was having twins. And the way to Belgium, they got detained. My great-grandfather, Chikurka, managed to escape with his brother, but his wife didn't. And all of his family, I'm talking siblings, nieces, everyone from even his parents, all of them were sent to Auschwitz, and they all died. the only, not all of them died though. There were three of my great grandfather's brothers. They survived. And to just think of the pain of knowing that you have twins on the way, but they're dead. Your wife is dead. Your parents are dead. You don't even know if your brothers are alive. You're in Belgium. They're in another country in a concentration camp. You have no idea. You're all alone. Knowing the pain that must have caused him, I couldn't survive it myself. I couldn't. I wouldn't. Because the question still would boggle your mind. What do I do now? Family is the most important thing. In our community, family means everything. What happens when you don't have it? What happens when the entire world is against you? What do you do then?
Yeah, no, for this reason, I think that remembrance matters today, because this is still happening, not only in our communities, but in many other communities in all the world. There are wars and still is happening. So this is why I think it's important to be together, to take this negative fact and to change in positive, or at least how we can shape the future in remembering this negative fact. What do you think, Gemma?
Your story was really touching, because we all have story as yours. And for some of us, even we want to say it so loud, we cannot say it. Because when I'm talking about my granddad, he had also a really painful story. And I tried to talk with him so many times to tell me that story. It was really hard, the pain in his eyes. But one day he was like, I need to tell you this. You need to know it. You need to talk about it loudly as much you can. And Balkan, it was a little bit different. All the Roma men were taken to Bulgaria to train station to work, to build the train station there. And it was so painful, because they were working with not food, with water just once in the war. And it was too hot, too painful for all of the Roma men there. You know, you are without your family, without your loved ones. My great-grandmother, she was... actually, this story, it's a little bit... For me, like, as a woman, it's a hard to say it, but I will say it. She was pregnant with my grandfather's brother. We don't know what gender was the baby. They were walking, and two or three of the military wanted to rape her. My grandfather was 3 or 4 years old. And he said once to me, I was crying so loud, so they cannot do something bad to my mom. He was little kid. He didn't knew what to do that moment. You are kid, you don't know that stuff that moment. But he was crying so loud, and he managed to, you know, to save his mother. And he told this only once to us, and we knew that it's not so easy to talk about it. It's not. As a young woman, a fighter for woman rights, I cannot say it. I want to cry so loud for it, but I don't want to keep it as that. I want to talk about it really loud, to write, script, everything. So the burden, it's really big, Palermo. But we need to say it. Everyone needs to know your granddad's stories, my grandparents' stories, the great-grandmother. It was really worse period that we face it. It's a pain. It's a trauma. I don't know how to say it. But we need to be the voice. We need to be the light. If we are not, it will be forgotten again. Another people who are not experienced the things that we heard these stories, they cannot tell our story. We need to tell our story. It's really important.
Thank you, Jamila. So thank you both for, first of all, to share your private stories and for your advocacy, for the way how you make your voice heard, for your activism, for your art, for everything you do, and for your reflection and that you give us today. So memory is not only about the past, it's a bridge to justice, dignity, and action in the present. This has been Echoes of Memory. Until next time, bye-bye. Thank you.